Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
Red Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the first Macau Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by world-renowned producer Gianni Nunari. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, everybody. I'm also very happy to be with you here today in Macau and in the first edition of this festival.
Exactly. So pardon the banality of the first question, but, you know, it's only fair to ask for a first edition of a festival. What are your impressions of it so far?
I actually love that, you know, first of all, because I love everything that is original and that is the first time. So it's not the usual, you know, Festival of Cannes or Festival of Venice. Not because I have anything against Cannes or Venice, but as we all know, those festivals, they, at least to my point of view, they lost a little bit of the originality, you know. They become fashion shows, you know. I always say, and I'm very protective of the business and the job that we do, you know. So you go there and there's only the party of Chopard, the party of Dolce & Gabbana, the party of and you forget that you're there just to support the movies, you know.
Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more. And as a follow-up question, so festivals are still important to the film industry itself?
Festivals are always important, and one of the most important things that people don't know or they forget in all these years is that Cannes was always tremendously important, because there is all that market industry of meeting and exchanging, the business side, which is very important, which makes it very sparkling, you know. So you can really go there, and from when I was a kid, for example, I remember, you know, with my father, you could go there and sell a few territories, come back with few contracts and sell a movie.
And what about establishing a festival here particularly? What are the potentials there?
Well, especially right now with the Asian opening of Hollywood and the movie business, I think that Macau, who has an origin of an island where the trading from the Portugal to Asia was established, you know, imagine. So I think it's like it's almost like it's a main reason to come here, and to and you know, it's on the border of two huge continents, you know. I think it's a great idea.
Speaking of which, the Chinese culture as well obviously impacts international cinema. You yourself, do you find yourself inspired by this culture, the Chinese culture?
I love not just the Chinese culture. I love every culture from where I can explore and dive myself and learn and lose myself in fantasy. Obviously, China is one of the oldest, if not the oldest, civilization, empire, or, you know, from the time of Genghis Khan. So we can start talking about it, and we can probably make 1,000 movies.
There's lots of stories to be found in Chinese culture.
Lots of stories.
Let's talk about what you are doing here at the festival, specifically the masterclass that you did. What exactly was it? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, the masterclass was basically, and I'm very honored, they invited me to tell 100 or a couple of hundred, I don't know, of the people that they participated, just curiosity about my life and how did I become, or how do you, or how can you become a producer? How do you see the industry today? How did you turn out to make certain kind of movies, like my movies? And, you know, it was like almost a personal dialogue between me and the people that came.
Well, let's start from there, actually, because there's a lot of different questions that we could get into just from that little description. But how did you get into the movies that you make today? But actually, originally, why did you get into the movies?
Well, my father was in the movie business. At the end of his, the last 20 years of his life, he started to invest in buying and selling movies. So I was a real child when I started to go to the festival in Milano, in Cannes, all over the world, and that's where I learned from my young age on all the different aspects of making a movie here, from literally bringing the reels in my little Mini Cooper into a screening room, into selling, different countries from Greece, Turkey, Liberia, I mean, I remember, into producing, distributing, and foreign sales, down to finally arrive into Hollywood and learn all the agency packaging and the whole American side of making a movie.
Yeah, because they're very different, very different.
Oh, yeah. Completely different.
What are sort of the main difference that you could highlight between the American film industry and the ones from other parts of the world, but even just the European one, let's say?
Well, the American side is basically like, it's an organized industry where you have big agencies, big managers. It's like it's completely. They are like agents all over the world, also in the other, like in France, in Italy, in Germany, in England. But Hollywood and Los Angeles itself is like, I always say, sometimes I get claustrophobic because it's like everybody talks about the movies. You walk into a restaurant, you walk to a bar, everybody somehow is an expert on the movies, is an expert about writing, is an expert about calling an agency, is an expert about the different section. I mean, if you walk in Paris, if you walk into a restaurant, maybe there's going to be one person that you bump into is going to be a producer, not like 50 people, including the waiter, who's going to come and give you your coffee, who knows exactly that... in a couple of weeks he's going to have ready a script that he could talk to you about it. It's like it's a real pulsing city, talking about the dream of making a movie, versus in other places and in other countries you also have other things, and the movie business is like a little percentage.
Actually, that brings me to a question that I've always found fascinating. With the technical and technological developments of filmmaking, somehow filmmaking has become more accessible to other people. But in other ways, I mean, how do you see it? Has it really become easier to make films?
Well, it depends on the movies and depends on the films. Yeah, theoretically, you can go and build an entire movie, an entire story on your little computer. It's always like, and you can see in the web that there are lots of young directors that they present little stories or little trailer, little teaser about ideas. Obviously the scale is what is important,
Still kind of a distance, but because you sort of started in the industry at a young age, obviously presumably you also started, you also realize that there's a difference between mainstream cinema and art house, let's say, cinema at a young age also. But I find that a lot of your films blend the line between the two. So you're not just, it's not a popcorn movie, what I like to call a lot of them. Is there still that kind of line to blend in to achieve a level of respectability for a film?
I think so. I think that we all try to have... first of all, it depends on your DNA. It depends of... that was probably not a coincidence, but just because of my family, I had certain dreams and certain ideas, or probably the movies that I saw when I was with my father in the screening rooms, and that's what they evolved in the movies that I later on ended up doing. But it's also about as a normal spectator. You grow up in certain ages in your life, and then if you have the chance to become a producer, like I ended up becoming, it's like we all have that kind of, portfolio of dreams. So it's different if you end up becoming a producer later on in your life.
A baggage of things from life experiences that then you translate in the work that you make.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. It was a real pleasure talking to you. Thanks very much for enlightening us on the role of the producer as well. It's a terrific pleasure.
Thank you. Good luck.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.